Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. Three astrologers who come on to Blog Talk Radio every Monday evening at 11 East Coast time. And last week we celebrated Mercury retrograde. we're listening to Heather go toe to toe with Mr. Mercury.
And Anne was asleep on her couch.
Yeah. Right. Mm. Yeah, and Anne was.
I think I was Mercury retrograde. It was not working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
that's
Mercury has gone direct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have a Mercury direct, and I think we'll make it through the show.
And we're all here.
Anyway, this is Mark Waltz, and I'm in New York City, Manhattan. Joined by Ann Ortley.
On the Upper East Side at my bright red desk. And also joined by
Heather Rowan Robbins out here in North Dakota, recently back from a camping trip to the Badlands where I got to watch a rattlesnake rattle in person. It was really exciting.
Wow. Were you close?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
About 11 feet away.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Luckily the dogs had run ahead. It was about 8 feet long. It was very impressive.
Wow.
But I figured it was auspicious because it just rattled at me, hissed at me, and then left me alone.
Wow.
And
rattlesnakes. Wow. I'm glad you saw it. It didn't.
It was beautiful.
You saw it before it saw you. Wow.
Right.
Yes.
No, it saw me first.
Yeah.
And then I heard it first, and then I stepped around it, which was very nice.
Okay.
Luckily, the dogs.
That's great. That's
it was beautiful being out there. It was beautiful. And the stars, you know, every time I go out beyond light pollution and see the magnificence of the stars and see how the planets come in first, I have, you know, a renewed connection to ancient astrology and to the lineage that we come from of people where the stars weren't something abstract in a book or on a computer. They were what spoke to us every night. It was just so beautiful to see that, and it reminds us of where did this art form come from that we have.
That's an important note for all of our listeners and ourselves, that taking a look at the sky, a long look where you can really see the sky where it's close and full and bright, really important because it just energizes all of this information. It's the source.
The source where everything comes from.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. That was really cool.
So today, by the way, today is June the 1st.
Yay! How did it get to be June?
Get us oriented.
Mm-hmm.
It is June the 1st. So we're stepping into summer. We have the sun in Gemini. And we'll see a full moon on, what is it, Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday night.
Sunday night,
Sunday
right?
afternoon, 12 in the, June 12 in the afternoon, East Coast time.
Okay. Yep. That'll be a full moon with the moon in Sagittarius, opposite to that Gemini sun.
Mm-hmm. Best night to go out dancing in the whole year.
Yeah, actually, it's a great night for
go out dancing, go out, walk on the next full moon. Mm-hmm.
Great night for all the high school proms because that sun and moon are both just leaving a square to Saturn. And if that doesn't spell schools out, you tell me what does.
Right. Free again. Beautiful.
Right.
All right. Well, good. I was looking at the moon and looking at the aspects for the week and thinking, you know, last week was kind of a hard week because we had that Neptune and Chiron station in the middle of the Jupiter, so everybody's wounds were up and kind of a lot of feeling pretty picked on. I don't know. I got into a little obsession with Susan Boyle and the British Got Talent, and they had this poor little girl who was about 10 years old break down and start sobbing on the show because she screwed up the lines to Edelweiss. And it was just kind of watching this, you know, and everybody going, oh, and wanting to step forward and comfort her. And then at the same time, you know, she's standing up there competing with the big kids, you know, skating with the big kids.
Susan Boyle ending up in a mental hospital.
Yeah, and Susan Boyle ended up in a mental hospital, and it was just the wounds are up, you know, the big, you know, what's your dream? And then, oh, wow, the dream is happening, the dream's not happening, oh, wow, the wound is related to the dream, and it's this huge amount of energy with this station that kind of says, Hey, what do I want? What is my dream? So it's really a big week to get clear on it, because last week was Mars triggering it. This week is Venus. After her very, very long journey in Aries, she's finally getting out of Aries, getting into Taurus, a sign she likes a lot better. But she's also starting a new eight-year cycle around what our vision for ourselves is and what we would like and where we're planning on going and how that shapes up. So it's a really pivotal week in many ways, and it also is processing a lot of the stuff that went on last week as Mercury stopped and as the planets danced and we all kind of went, ouch, you know, that hurt, stop it. And I think it's a big week for a lot of releasing. You know, I know I'm planning on doing a little bit of releasing, you know, just saying, okay, I'm done with this, let me release that. And and freeing ourselves, too. I think, you know, spring always makes you feel like, I don't need to wear a coat. I can dance and sing. And I think on a bigger level, what else do you need to shed? What else do you need to release with this energy? So.
And as the week that Mercury goes direct, it takes at least a week before, I always think of Mercury changing directions as when you're stirring a pot and you see the water swirling and you go to stir it back in the other way and all the turbulence as the water changes direction. And then as Mercury, and I notice this also with Mars, as they go direct, you see a lot of turbulence as it starts to straighten itself out. But that as this turbulence that happened over the weekend was great for me because I was off the grid and not thinking. But that was the best place to be with Mercury retrograde. But with the, I see a lot of misunderstandings just coming to light now, a lot of problems and mistakes and bad plans that happened coming to light and needing to be healed this week. Luckily, there's some wonderful aspects to Venus. Right before she enters her home sign of Taurus, and then as she enters her home sign of Taurus, that allows us to speak healing words and healing visions and a sense of connection and together, and reminding us of what we really value, which our hearts are just full. Today, tomorrow, and the next day with the moon in Libra, it's a chance to really, you know, bring the olive branch. Make, you know, heal any mistakes or bad blood that got stirred up last week. If we don't do it early in the week, I see that as Mars goes, trines Pluto on June 4th and Sun square Saturn on June 5th, that there, as the moon goes into Scorpio, a lot of comeuppance, a lot of, okay, now we see the consequences, now the problems are clear. An example that I'm seeing as Mercury was turning direct and in that turbulent time, the Taliban made a poor decision in Pakistan and kidnapped 400 families and children out of a school. I suspect that as the moon goes into Scorpio and Mars trines Pluto, that brings in the cavalry and there will be a large-scale retaliation. At that point, anywhere we've been able to heal, this can be a dynamic time instead of to retaliate, because Mars trine Pluto can be a very heroic, energizing aspect. That it's, and it's in Earth signs. It's time to get stuff done and to, you know, boldly go where we have not gone before and to go up while we're doing it, because Sun is squaring Saturn at the same time. So it can be a real progress at that point. If we're in adolescent rebellion or we're dealing with a great difficulty, that may be the time that limits get set in an intense way. So that's one of the patterns that I'm seeing. We've got the energy. If things are healed, it'll be a great time to move forward with a lot of personal discipline. But the next couple of days are all about healing ourselves, healing our relationships, making friends, reconnecting after Mercury went retrograde, now that it's gone direct. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, I see very much those themes bringing us through the week and into that full moon on the 7th. And the healing, I see also an element of sort of faith healing in there, because with that full moon, Mercury will be at 25 Taurus, which puts it in a square. to those three planets we've been watching together in 26 Aquarius, Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron, which have a lot to do with healing and bringing sort of whatever positive energies we need into what our understanding of healing is, and doing it through that Neptune, tuning into some higher sensibility of what the healing is about. So when Mercury squares it, there's a challenge, and it really brings our minds into the picture. And that same Mercury, while it squares the trio, is sextile to Uranus, which allows for a lot of intuition. So it's whatever sort of healing is going on around you, whether it's yourself or people that you're connected with, that full moon will be a good time to really tune in and fit with all the information and put it together intuitively and see what that healing is about, and on all levels, and then let it proceed. And so I see that as a big theme. And in that full moon, Venus is the final dispositor in Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that just highlights the role of Venus through this whole week. And so, you know, really strong week for creativity, strong week for working in the garden, you know, everything to do with creating with the earth and making a creative space around us. So those are the things that I see really strongly going on this week.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah, no, I think it's...
And?
Yeah, no, I just think it's kind of an interesting energy, you know. We've been really, you know, we've been working for a while with, you know, with this retrograde energy, and Saturn went direct a few weeks ago. And one of the things that happens when he goes direct is we all start to move forward, you know, full speed ahead towards the next thing, which is in this case him going into Libra. But the ruler of Saturn, Mercury, was retrograde until this week. So now we're actually going to really see what the story is from last fall that we've been working on clearing, and we're going to understand what that thing is we're trying to build. The plans are going to become clearer. And I think part of the frustration, at least, that I've had is this sense that there's this all this stuff swirling around, and I can't really get my finger on it. I can't really pin it down. You know, there's this parts that are clear, but then there's these big other parts that are blurry, and one point I sat and looked at the charts, and I thought, you know, I think it's blurry because it's not ready yet. You know, it's not time for me to know what to do with this yet. So I think I just need to take a chill pill and worry about the stuff I can actually do something about, and then the rest of the stuff, just kind of put it in the pile, and when it's time, I'll know what I want to do with it. And I have to say that made a lot of sense, and it's made a lot of sense to clients as I've said it to them. It's like, you know, the stuff you know what you want to do, do it. And Mercury's going direct now, so he's going to be back to help us clear stuff. He's still working in Earth, and he's still kind of in the fog with that Jupiter-Neptune-Chiron square. So he's still not 100% clear. But in a week or so, when he gets to zero Gemini next Friday, next Saturday, he enters like the most intuitive and smart section of the chart that he's in, 0-1 of Gemini, where he just gets it. So kind of slog through this week and watch what comes up for you emotionally, because what it'll do is it'll help you clear or help you get clearer. And then the puzzle pieces kind of fall in place. A friend of mine mailed me a puzzle of the United States, but without the lines, you know, and the state would pop up and you had to drag it to the part where it would be, you know, which, you know, I kind of know the middle states fairly well, and certainly I know my coast, the east, and California's easy because it's a big clump. But when you put it in the wrong place, the little red block would come up and it would say, nope, you're wrong, and you'd have to drag it. And it was kind of like, that's kind of what it feels like, is the puzzle pieces aren't really, the lines aren't in yet, you know. So like try and do a map of the United States without the lines. And if anybody wants this website, it's absolutely fabulous. Send me an email and I'll send you the link. But it's one of those things when you do it, you go, well, I know my states, you know, but at the same time, it's not clear. The lines aren't in place. And it was a really good metaphor for the energy, you know, like the states that are clear, like West Virginia, no problem, New York State, no problem. But those middle ones, Nebraska, Kansas, Colorado, Wyoming, I know about where they go.
You have to be out here for a little while, and then it makes sense.
Right, but I'm also, you know about where they go, but the lines aren't there. And the lines are what make you know where the puzzle piece goes. You know, just moving the state and dropping it into the big middle of the United States, you kind of go, wow. And that's kind of what we're doing in our lives. We've got the edges, and maybe we have like a little chunk that we're clear on. And then there's this whole big blurry section. And you know what? Let it be blurry. Go focus on the parts of the puzzle you can figure out and don't worry about the rest. Because now that Mercury's going direct, he's going to get the puzzle. But not until next Friday, next Saturday, another week. So this week is kind of fiddling around with it and trying to do it without the lines being 100% clear. So
let's check if anybody's on the line.
Nobody on the line, but if anybody wants to call in with questions, feel free to call in. Our call-in number is 347-215-8881. Again, the number is 347-215-8881. That's our guest call-in number here for Access Astrology. Three astrologers.
And you were talking about... Go ahead.
Giving you information.
You were talking about the time of no boundaries, of no edges. And I do see that continuing on through the middle of the month as Mercury, as it moves forward, finishes that square to Jupiter and Neptune.
Right.
With Jupiter and Neptune conjunct, it is all of our dreams. And it is all, you know, we can see it in more practical ways in health issues, you know, continued worry about swine flu, and Jupiter-Neptune can make us very permeable. It can also bring up any of our relationship to escapist habits, even if it's something like running off to the Badlands for a week, or ways that we eat, or addictive cycles that we have. And I think in this case, our addiction, our national addiction to oil, which is very much a Neptunian question, that all of those issues are up for review this week, this month. And in the next 2 weeks, notice that our dream world may be just cooking. And to begin to tell the difference between our dreams and our imagination and the effort that it takes not to get lost in them, to use them, to work, to daydream with them, to have some summertime where you kick back and you put your toes in water somewhere, because Jupiter, Neptune, they love the water, and reconnect with your spirit rather than try to be highly efficient. And that often if we're totally spacing out or forgetting things or losing, and we think Mercury is still retrograde because Mercury is square Neptune, can feel like it's still retrograde, can feel that confusion, that fogginess, that difficulty understanding. Often if we give Neptune its due, it starts to release us from the fog. If you, you know, you find yourself in the kitchen and you're staring at the refrigerator and you don't know why you're there, or doing the other signs that you're walking around a little stupor, it may be time to take a spiritual retreat. And that spiritual retreat can mean a few hours every day, or one day a week, or an afternoon where you're really honoring your creative soul, you're listening to your muse, and you're taking your back, whatever connects you to the whole, to the one, to the spirit, to the collective ocean that Neptune loves so much. But if we really honor our Neptune, it begins to work with us instead of, otherwise it sort of pulls us under and fogs out our brain for a little while. It's also a very good time to watch our relationship to sugar, because Jupiter-Neptune conjunction can increase a tendency to be hypoglycemic, or have trouble keeping our sugar balanced. So eating a nice, even, grounded food, even though ice cream is delicious on a hot, sweaty day, keeping ourselves eating nice, grounded, good, solid foods underneath any sweets that we have so that we just keep that steadiness will help us stay grounded. But use that Mercury in Taurus, you know, one foot in front of the other, but how can I stay grounded while we explore the dream world? I think it's going to be an important part of the process, and that we can find ways to dream in a creative way and really use our imagination. You know, if you're instead of living fiction, write fiction. Instead of getting lost in our imagination, use our imagination in creative ways, and it will work better for us as Mercury moves past that square by June 12th, it's past the square, but it will take a while before it clears up. So we'll see a lot more definition coming up at the end of June, where things start to fall in place and the lines begin to form again on our states.
Right.
In the meantime, Venus and Mars are conjunct in Taurus, and it is a sensual, flirtatious, possessive time. With Venus in conjunct Taurus, driving back through the Badlands, I was going through a fairly agricultural area, and I saw, you know, lots of bulls in their field defending all the girls. You know, literally see that,
like the report from the farm.
Taurus, and he was ready to knock out anything that came near all his ladies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's full on breeding season. There's little babies around. And you could see all of the sort of the breeding fever, all the trouble that people get themselves into when they're feeling territorial and animalistic and jealous and possessive. And in the good side of it is that when we see Venus and Mars and that kind of type reaction, there's a nice flirtatious warmth in the world that can make even, you know, your conversation with the dog and the people on the street lovely. What we have to watch out for is it can turn up the volume on tough emotional issues with those combinations. And sometimes with Venus in Taurus conjunct Mars, I have seen, or Venus, Mars, and Jupiter, it should be, whenever that happens, I see an increase in sex crimes, rape, or sexual harassment charges, or anger taken out, you know, beaten wives. And that's that intensity gone into a negative direction. Luckily, that's a small amount of the problem, but it's really a good time not to play with any kind of jealousy. Do not use jealousy to tweak a love or to wake them up. You know, really say what you mean and mean what you say with people that you love. And don't let the possessiveness get too tight, but don't tweak it unnecessarily. Honor it and create some space with that. It's a beautiful, slow-moving energy. It is very stubborn, will not be changed by direct pressure. If someone makes up their mind, you know, if a child makes up their mind that they want some hideously ugly dress, you cannot change their mind from it. You can slow it down, but you can't change their mind. And how do you help open their mind and show them alternatives rather than disagree with them directly unless you absolutely have to? That's one of the patterns that I see.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we'll see. The moon is going to pull us into the world around us, too, during this week, because mm-hmm. It moves from Libra through Scorpio, then Sagittarius with the full moon, and this time next week it'll be in Capricorn. So as it moves through that quarter of the rising sense of what's around us and how we connect to it. And the full moon in Sagittarius is usually a very exuberant kind of feeling. So, you know, we'll have a strong sense of enjoying being connected to the world around us and having fun with that.
And how that lays out is going to be kind of interesting, too, because we have a lot of unsolved stories that are going to solve or seek to solve because of the Mercury going forward now. So he's going to take us back through his retrograde journey and say, you know, all that stuff we were talking about in May, I think I changed my mind. You know, like, I changed my mind. I don't want to do it. And we're going to have to kind of look and say to Mercury, you know, I appreciate you really don't want to do this, but that's not the deal. The deal is we made the deal, and kind of holding him accountable, because he did do it when it was an Earth. So, you know, it's also understanding the terms of the deal, which is a big component when Mercury goes direct, is he really asks us. And I think your analogy earlier, Heather, about the swirling the pot, when you start to stir it the other way, everything gets all wacky and wild and crazy, and then it does start to all go together. And I think that's a really good analogy for the turbulence we're in now, is when you're not really sure what's going on, just kind of listen and be quiet, you know. So, you know, I had one friend who had an ongoing relationship thing, and the person that she had it with, he said to her today, he goes, well, you know, You know, with that whole thing we had about this issue, you know, like, I hope that's not really still part of this. And she's like, it is. You know, it is. But it's now reaching a point where it can shift and move and change. And so it's like saying, well, okay, if it shifts and moves and changes, what does it shift and move and change into? That's the exciting thing. It's not so much the old stuff that you don't agree with or the stuff that's back up for negotiation again. It's, you know, you changed your mind about this, so what do you want now? What's your vision for now? Not what your vision was for last week or 2 weeks ago. What's your vision for where you're going forward with the future? And as Mercury now goes direct and he comes to support Saturn, and Saturn's moving direct, we're going to really be clear. Whereas the story that we worked on from last fall, last September timeframe, we're going to start to see. And also in terms of our economy, we can expect some adjustments because of the moving forward. So we have GM going bankrupt. We had Chrysler going bankrupt. You know, they employ 1/5 of the population of the United States. I mean, I have no idea if that's true, but I read it somewhere. And I was like, 1/5 of the population. So we're going to have a whole bunch of newly unemployed people because we just took these places out, and all the health care and all the retirement and all this stuff that's like shifting and changing, that's not clear how it's going to settle out yet, but it is going to have a profound impact. And as we're in this magical time, one of the things they kept saying over the last few weeks, oh, the economy's getting better, the economy's getting better, and I kept thinking, you're saying this on Mercury retrograde.
It's right. Like,
it must not be true. And now that Mercury is actually going direct, you know, we're going to see the fallout. We're going to see all these unemployed people are going to lose their houses, and we're going to have a second wave of foreclosures in a couple of months when they can't afford their mortgage payments. And it's understanding that there's bigger forces afoot. And then the next thing is, say, not to buy into the fear, but to figure out, well, what's your force afoot? How do you put these parts together so that you're covered and taken care of? And that's the bigger piece underneath this, is not to be afraid, but now that everything's moving forward, you're actually going to be able to figure out what's going on, which I think is really critical, because I know for me, with the big pile of mess that I've been looking at going, what am I going to do with that? It's like, okay, now I'm feeling like, well, I can tackle this corner, and that'll be okay. And if I can just do the one corner, that'll get me a little bit. You know, the faster you go, the slower you go, the faster you get there. You know, it's like, just do a little bit every day, and you'll be fine. So it's also incremental, because Mercury is in Taurus, moving slowly. Slowly.
One of the things it is, and with, you know, how did Jupiter-Neptune, again, I'm going to take it back to how do we renew ourselves? I think a lot of people have rather fried from the last few months, and especially from last week's aspects. And Venus entering its own sign of Taurus, along with Mercury in Taurus, talks about how...
And Mars in Taurus.
It is, and Mars in Taurus, that going back to, you know, Taurus is that fecund, earthly, you know, plants growing up in rich soil. So what enriches our soil? And what helps us grow deep? That if we can, while we're waiting for the air to clear and waiting for the lines to come back onto the map, and we're slowly doing the healing process and seeing where the country is going as it begins to just break out, we need to reconnect with our spirituality, with our creative process. Keep the art supplies out. Do any little arts project that you can. Futz with your house. Paint your bedroom. Do anything that allows your creative vision to come forward. And it taps you, it takes you, unhooks you from everybody else and taps you into a wellspring inside yourself right now. And that begins to really feed you and nurture. That's what I see for this week.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And the lady's telling us we're running out of time. So, Mark, you want to take us home?
Yeah. So thank you all for tuning in. Tell your friends. And we'll be here 11 p.m. on Monday. Or you can dial it up anytime. You just can't call in. So if you have a question for us next week, call it in and give us your birth information so we can look up your chart, and that'll help us with some answers. And you can always find our information at astronyc.com. That's astronyc.com. Access Astrology. Again, this is Mark Waltz from Manhattan.
And Ann Ortley from the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
And Heather Rowan Robbins from North Dakota.
Okay.
So bye, guys. Have a good week.